You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 30th, 2020, the last day of April. We need Congress back in session so we can get more money set up for another payroll protection program, because the one we have is, if it's not out of money, it's going to be out any moment. Congress is on recess at this point. Senator Schumer says he will bring the Senate back next week, for sure. Nancy Pelosi, the House, I'm going to sit here and enjoy my ice cream a little bit more. We may not come back for maybe another week. Dan Crenshaw, Republican, representative, Texas, said Nancy Pelosi is showing cowardice by continuing to keep Congress out of session. He said cowardice is the only way to describe that. Let me remind everybody, if we got paid hourly in Congress, you bet Nancy Pelosi would be there. He's absolutely right. In the meantime, the new claims for unemployment, this is tough. We are now showing a 30 million count of unemployed in America. We are at the worst since we've been with the Depression. 30 million. When everyone previously that had a job, in fact, companies couldn't find enough workers, now they've been shut down. Small businesses, the driving engine of our country, having to lay off, reduce hours, maybe shutter, maybe never to reopen, especially if some of these stay-in-place orders continue in various states. And in North Carolina, the governor, a Democrat, says we're going to continue enforcing stay-at-home until at least May 8th, North Carolina. Two ways to look at this next story. According to Fox News, they had the Office of the Director of National Intelligence confirming on record that the U.S. intelligence community is investigating whether the coronavirus outbreak started as a result of an accident at a lab in Wuhan, China, not from the wet market. Now, coming at a lab means they were working on it, and somehow there was, quote, an accident, and it got out. Now, they are all in agreement at this time, that it was not efforts to create a biological weapon. But they are saying, we're going to confirm it came out of the lab. New York Times approach is, the White House is pushing the intel agencies to go in there and prove it was a lab. They're concerned that pressure from the administration will distort assessments of the virus and hurt China. New York Times leftists. Sad story outside a Brooklyn funeral home. Trying to handle many of these bodies. Police found some fluids. I'm sorry, this is tough to hear. Some fluids dripping from trucks. They opened up. Some bodies were on ice because the trucks were unrefrigerated. Up to 60 bodies stuck outside like that. Pentagon is saying it's spending over $75 million to ramp up production of coronavirus testing swabs. We'll be doing that under the Defense Production Act. Then comes a report out of New York. New York State, of course, claiming it needed more ventilators. Well, now apparently they paid something like $69 million, the state of New York, paying $69 million for 1,400-plus ventilators. They never got. And now the questions are, what happened here? President Trump saying the new evidence against Michael Flynn, new details unveiled, handwritten notes of FBI agents show that they were trying to entrap him We spent a lot of time on that in the previous hour. If you missed it, I would encourage you to go to Larry Connors USA Facebook and pull up the podcast and share it with your friends. The story of the Michael Flynn investigation, not only in our first segment of the last hour, but also the last segment. Washington Post, by the way, saying that VP Joe Biden should address the accusations of sexual assault. The Washington Post says Biden should come forward and address the claims by former staffer Tara Reid. Joe Biden's response is, wait for it, Joe Biden's response is, he's not going on anywhere at this point, just hiding out.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
COVID-19, coronavirus, is real. But despite all the hype, the fake news, there's no need to panic. Still, you want your environment safe for customers, employees, family. What can be done? How much would it cost? Who to trust? I can tell you, Wellington Environmental. Wellington Environmental would determine the best way to protect against COVID-19. Wellington Environmental can do it at a very reasonable cost. When it comes to trust, for more than 30 years, Wellington Environmental has been working with hospitals, nursing homes, universities, schools, even private homes. You don't last more than 30 years if you're not doing an excellent job. COVID-19 is a new health concern, but Wellington Environmental has the experience to give you peace of mind. Wellington Environmental, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington Environmental.
I want to thank my friends at John Bill Roofing for sponsoring this segment of Larry Connors USA. John Bill Roofing, covering homes, businesses throughout the Midwest with the best quality, lowest price. John Bill Roofing. Call 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Had me a girl, taught me those things a young man should know.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Joe Biden brings values and integrity to work every day. I'm proud to endorse Joe Biden for president, a leader who is the personification of hope and courage, values, authenticity, and integrity.
Nancy Pelosi put down her ice cream spoon long enough to endorse Joe Biden. Talked about his integrity. She's been asked one time on one major network, one time, a throwaway question. What about these allegations from Tara Reid, a former Senate aide for then-Senator Biden, claiming that Biden pushed her up against a wall and stuck his hand down her pants, penetrating her? What about those? But they didn't ask the question as hard as I did. They just said, oh, you know, these allegations out there, what do you think? Oh, no, I think a woman should be heard, but I believe Joe Biden. In other words, I don't want to hear from the woman. I don't want to believe her. She's attacking the person who's going to carry our flag for the Democrat Party. No, 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 no. As I told you in news and commentary, the Washington Post editorial board put out a statement that said, you got to speak up, Joe. You got to answer charges. You should address it. Talk about it. And so far, nothing. There's a breakdown of the difference. And the real difference here, folks, is whether or not you believe Tara Reid and her story, it is her story against his story. As it was with the Kavanaugh and Blasey Ford, her claims, his denial. I would not stand here and tell you I know which one was true. I don't. I tend to think Kavanaugh was correct and she was lying, but I don't know. And in this case, I tend to think Tara's telling the story correctly. And Biden, while his campaign's been denying it, they're also lying for him. But then look at how the two incidences are covered. Because one of them involves a Republican under the probe, Kavanaugh, going to the Supreme Court, And two, the other one being a nominee, possibly, from the Democrat Party for the White House. The New York Times did a very good job of covering the Kavanaugh story and hashtag Me Too in 2019. In 2019, I'm looking at a report. This was put together by Dan Gaynor, VP for TechWatch, part of the Media Research Center. He said the New York Times had more than 1,700 mentions of hashtag Me Too in 2019. It has mentioned Biden's accuser, Tara Reid, just 18 times in 2020. And eight of those were the same story about Hillary Clinton endorsing Biden. The lead was Hillary Clinton endorsing, and also, oh, by the way, and according to the paper's April 12 investigation, the Times found no pattern of sexual misconduct by Mr. Biden. Yet the paper had also reported last year Ms. Reid and seven other women came forward to accuse Biden of kissing, hugging, touching them in ways that made them feel uncomfortable. Now, the interesting thing about that part, initially the report stated there was no evidence of a pattern of misconduct by Biden beyond hugs, kisses, and touching. Then they got removed from the story. So then the New York Times media columnist that's supposed to be the ombudsman for the public, for the paper, holding the paper accountable, challenging them, going after them when needed, which is a very difficult task. You want to go challenge your boss who's writing your paycheck? But media columnist Ben Smith did interview his boss, his executive editor, and actually asked him some key questions. And it ran under a headline, "The Times took 19 days to report on accusations against Biden. Here's why." And the New York Times executive editor said he wanted readers to, quote, have all the information he or she needs to think about what to make of this thing. But they admit the story was changed to placate Biden's staff. The editor was asked about that deletion of the sentence. The Times found no pattern of sexual misconduct by Mr. Biden beyond the hugs, kisses, and touching that women previously had said made them uncomfortable. And they claimed they took it out and changed it because, according to the quote direct from their own reporter, the editorial director said, the editor, I should say, said, "Even though a lot of us, including me, had looked at it before the story went into the paper, I think that the Biden campaign thought the phrasing was awkward, made it look like there were other instances in which he had been accused of sexual misconduct. That's not what the sentence was intended to say." You know what he just admitted? The Biden campaign called him and said, "Hey, you're going to change that. That's making us look bad." And they did. They did. And, of course, CNN, when Tara Reid's mother had called in 93, complaining that her daughter was, didn't name her, but just said, "I've got a situation here. What would you advise for someone who's working for someone powerful in Congress if they were treated inappropriately?" And CNN, it appeared on the Larry King show that aired on CNN, and CNN did not present that video and say, "Here's some evidence to show that Tara Reid had part of her story documented that far back." But others got hold of it and found it and brought it to light. And here it is. That's Larry King talking.
San Luis Obispo, California. Hello.
Yes, hello. I'm wondering what a staffer would do besides go to the press in Washington. My daughter has just left there after working for a prominent senator and could not get through with her problems at all. And the only thing she could have done was go to the press, and she chose not to do it out of respect for him.
Or she had a story to tell, but out of respect for the person she worked for, she didn't tell it.
And CNN, it's their program, the Larry King Show, But they couldn't pull it from their files. They couldn't find it. They didn't bother. They didn't want to look. A Newsbusters managing editor said it's despicable that this footage existed, and yet CNN failed to do its own due diligence within its own archives. And when they did find it, they didn't really mention it in their prime lineup that evening. They didn't mention it on the Sunday Reliable Sources program, hosted by Brian Stelter. All of them were in the cover-up mode. You know where they learned that. They learned that from Bill Clinton. Deny, deny, deny. Or in this case, ignore, ignore, ignore. One analyst states that CNN waited 24 days to cover the allegations made by Tara Reid. And it also points out, in the 19 days, in 19 days, reference Brett Kavanaugh, the New York Times did 700 articles about allegations against Kavanaugh. 700 minimum. And they did that in 19 days. It took them 24 days to ever even acknowledge they had the tape at CNN. One of our main good listeners, loyal listeners in Chicago, put this in front of me. This is a piece written by Christopher Redford. This is an article for The Federalist. It's Bedford, Christopher Bedford. He's a vice chair of Young Americans for Freedom. And he points out some other part of the story that I've been alluding to, but he does a very good job, and I want to give him credit for the remarks and how he put it together. The title is Joe Biden Might Not Be Guilty, But Corporate Media Is. He goes on to say, it's a difficult spot for corporate media to be in. For months, liberal guest anchors, reporters at CNN, MSNBC, CBS, NBC, ABC, The Washington Post, New York Times, and elsewhere, propping up Biden's candidacy against Senator Sanders with a baggage train that stretches to Beijing and well into a public cognitive decline. He was not the ideal Democrat candidate. Talking about Sanders, he did not embody youth. He wasn't black. He wasn't a woman. He also wasn't gay, broke, or deeply unlikable. Finally, I'm sorry, they were talking about, let me restate that for you. He's talking about Biden here at this point. That Biden did not embody youth, not black, not a woman, wasn't gay, broke, or deeply unlikable, wasn't a communist, and to sum it up, he seemed to be the best bet. Or was he? But either way, Sanders is defeated. And then the stories are beginning to pop over and over again about Tara Reid. The Washington Post had actually interviewed her before her more serious allegation of the uncomfortable touching, the details. Washington Post did a piece in April 2019, but did not publish it. So it was March 2020, last month. She went public with the accusations of sexual assault. Still nothing from the Post. Now, as I said, the Washington Post is telling Joe Biden, the editorial board anyway, is saying you need to come talk about it. And, of course, the Democrats continue to say, I believe him. Stacey Abrams had run, of course, as Democrat candidate for Georgia, didn't win it. And she's still convinced that in her world, there's been an investigation. The New York Times concluded.
I believe that women deserve to be heard, and I believe that they need to be listened to. But I also believe that those allegations have to be investigated by credible sources. The New York Times did a deep investigation, and they found that the accusation was not credible. I believe Joe Biden. I believe that he is a person who has demonstrated that his love of family, his love of our community, has been made perfectly clear through his work as a congressional leader and as an American leader. I know Joe Biden, and I think that he is telling the truth and that this did not happen.
And, of course, she's taking that line because she's trying to put herself in line to get on the ticket with Biden. But, of course, she's also saying the New York Times did the investigation. I just told you how the New York Times has had hands off of the darn story. That during the Kavanaugh case, when Kavanaugh was facing his accusations, 700-plus articles in 19 days, 700-plus articles. And they were all, of course, with the intent to smear Kavanaugh's name. Tara Reid, 24 days or so without a single story. And even then, it's kind of a dismissive. Back to the editorial commentary written by Christopher Bedford, senior editor of The Federalist, talking about how the media, he said, again, Joe Biden might not be guilty, but corporate media is. He said, the corporate news media doesn't care about women, nor truth. They care about ruling and will sacrifice any offering that gets them closer to it. Victims of sexual assault, both real and imagined, they're just bodies on the altar. Unless the accused is in a protected class. He said, it's not just Biden and Kavanaugh. It's the reason anchors, reporters, execs at nearly every corporate channel, newspaper, even NPR, accused of sexual harassment, assault, or rape over the last 5 years. But only Roger Ailes is the subject of a miniseries and a feature film. Tara Reid did file a complaint with the police department. There's been a development on that. I've got that story coming up in the next segment, and also the professor who says, you, if you're a Trump supporter, you're to blame for the virus. I'm going to put a guilt trip on you. Believe me, it's coming up.
You want to look better, stronger, leaner? Visit my trainer, Jamie, and his team at Red Fitness Lounge in Clayton. Red Fitness Lounge, redefining exercise, changing how you think and look at fitness, one client at a time. Check it out, redfitnesslounge.com, redfitnesslounge.com.
I've been holding it so long, I've been sleeping all alone, Lord, I miss you.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Well, you heard the words of Stacey Abrams that she's going to believe Joe Biden, and of course she's hoping to get on the ticket with him. And she says there's been an investigation. New York Times, credible source, they investigated and said there's nothing to it. Well, they haven't really said that, but you want to read it that way, that's fine. But someone in the Democrat Party did not get to House Democrat Caucus Chairman Hakeem Jeffries, Democrat in New York. Somebody didn't get the memo to him. He's saying that Tara Reid's allegation is serious and deserves investigation. And he's not talking about by the New York Times. And he also says we've got to hear from Biden at some point directly. Whoa, Hakeem Jeffries, kudos to you, sir, for speaking up and saying, let's treat this as we would any other case when it's against a Republican. Tara Reid did file a report with the D.C. police. Now, here's the timeline. She had filed the report with the D.C. police in April 9, after publicly stating on March 25 that Biden had put his hand down her pants and penetrated her while she worked with him in the Senate in 93. The D.C. Metropolitan Police Department says the sexual assault case against Joe Biden is an inactive case. Would not give additional details. It's just been filed, and they're already saying it's inactive. Well, Tara Reid says, I was told that they wouldn't be jumping on criminal charges necessarily right away, but I made the police report for safety reasons only. I just wanted to make the report so it could help me work with a victim advocate, and I'm willing to cooperate with the police when they are. I think the D.C. police will get around to it. Then you got a professor at New Jersey, Rutgers University, blaming you and everyone else on the Trump side for the virus. Her statement is, on her Twitter account, F each and every Trump supporter. You absolutely did this. You are to blame. She went on to say, not only do white conservatives not care about black life, but most read of white supremacists among them as they welcome this mass winnowing of black folks in order to slow demographic shifts and shore up political power. She is saying all of this and the stay-at-home orders on top of that, all a gross calculation, and black people are dying disproportionately from COVID. There is a high death rate with black Americans. And we're going to discuss that in the next segment as to how to get the word out to make sure they're taking care of themselves. But she simply wants to blame you as a Trump supporter, a professor at Rutgers University. Oh, she's with the Department of Women's Gender and Sexuality Studies. That should tell you something. Oh, and here's something else that should tell you something. She has a history of going after Trump. And in fact, recently she blamed Donald Trump for the weight problems among the black community. She's a professor of higher learning. Trump's responsible for obesity in the black community. He's responsible for the virus sweeping through and particularly targeting black Americans. That's the world we're in now. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
So you're sitting in your favorite chair, you're enjoying your coffee, and then you see it. What is that? It's moving. Oh, it's a bug. Now, you don't care what kind, you just want it out of your house. Call Rottner Pest Solutions. They'll show up, take care of that bug and all of his friends. Now, you might think any pest control company could do the job, but with Rottner, all employees go through extensive background checks. And Rottner is proud to be the first company in Missouri to receive the Quality Pro Green designation. Plus, Rottner stands behind its work with a money-back guarantee, offering free inspections anytime. So after Rottner clears your house of any pesky critters, go back to your chair and that cup of coffee. Rottner Pest Solutions, Missouri's largest family-owned pest control company, serving more than just the St. Louis metro area. Go to Rottner.com, Rottner.com, and schedule a free inspection. Rottner.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
There are times when we book a guest and something comes up at the last minute for the guest, or they tend to forget, and I understand that. And it's been a mistake at our end as well from time to time. And communication is what we're supposed to be really good at, and apparently I failed today. The interview scheduled last hour, I was telling you that we were waiting for them to call in, and they didn't. No, we were supposed to call them. I've since found the email and talked to the agent. My fault that it did not happen last hour. We'll try to book him, the CEO of Made in America, for next week, because it's my fault. Shame on me, and which I'm serious about it. There's no one to blame but me. I'd try to blame Quentin, but yeah, I think not. So joining us now from the Heritage Foundation, Vice President of Communications, Executive Editor of the Daily Signal, Robert Bluey, glad to have you on board, sir.
It's great to be back with you. Thanks for having me.
All right. Now, what I've taken note of is that, as we have pointed out numerous times to our audience, Heritage Foundation had kind of worked with others in presenting plans and possibilities to the White House as we moved into starting self-containment and things of this nature. And now you're looking at it going another level. I know you guys are putting out a PSA specifically targeting minority communities. What's behind that?
Yeah, so thank you. It's really important that we get America reopened again and get people back to work, but we have to do so in a way that obviously keeps people safe, and they have to take the precautions necessary. Our president, Kay James, who herself is a black conservative, has been living in Richmond these past few weeks and has seen firsthand in that capital city in Virginia that the numbers of cases really do disproportionately impact minority communities, both the black community, Hispanics, And she thought it was important for her as a leader to get her message out to these communities. They're often on the front lines, and they also have, you know, maybe some distrust of government or medical professionals based on some of their past experiences. So she wanted to let them know that as we do go back to work, it's important to continue to maintain those precautions. And let's face it, you know, we are in a situation where we're at the end of President Trump's 30 days to slow the spread, April 30th being that last day. And states are eager to get people back out there. So we just need to each do our part.
Well, let's break that down a bit. One thing reference, yes, documentation has shown that minority communities are being hit the hardest, especially Black Americans. And to begin with the health issue, that many of them either have not had good and proper health care, and obesity, heart problems, asthma, things of this nature, they're more vulnerable in many cases. Is that right?
That's correct. And what we know about those who are more vulnerable is that they have a harder time overcoming the symptoms that come with COVID-19. And so there are a lot of individuals who are either asymptomatic or they experience a mild case. But if you have pre-existing conditions or you maybe are more vulnerable because of your health, then yes, you find yourself in a situation where the outcome could be deadly. And so that's one important factor to take into account.
Well, the other part of that element, as you mentioned, is that maybe a lack of trust. And to that extent, a lack of trust referenced the government and police agencies.
Yes, there is that element as well. I mean, let's face it, these communities don't necessarily have a lot of trust, particularly in government officials based on some past experiences where they feel that they may have been, bad things may have happened to their communities as a result of medical experiments or how the government has treated them. So I think that when you have somebody, even like a Dr. Fauci, who is widely regarded as one of the most trusted people in America right now, that might be different between different communities that you look at and study. And so we thought it was important for Kay James, who herself has been a national leader for decades, to get a message out there. And again, this is a firsthand experience. I mean, she has been talking to people in her community and hearing about it. So something that she feels passionate about.
You're listening to Robert Bluey. He's a vice president communications executive editor with the Daily Signal. Well, the Surgeon General, Dr. Jerome Adams, a Black man, he's put out PSAs as well. Do you think there's not a connect between the Surgeon General, and I'm not saying just race, but, I mean, would that not quell some of the fears and maybe alert the Black community that this is serious? You got to deal with it properly?
Certainly, and we've been in touch. Kay has been in touch with the Surgeon General, Jerome Adams. Certainly his PSAs have been helpful. We've actually started airing some of those in our own Daily Signal podcast at the Heritage Foundation just because we wanted to make sure people are reminded of these things. So, yes, absolutely, I think it's helpful. I think it's one of those situations where as much as you can do to reach people, it's one of those things where it could be easy to forget or, you know, you and I are exposed to the news all the time because we listen to talk radio and we're consumers of news and information, but we have to remember that not everybody is, and there are some people out there who might not be seeing all of the warnings and the steps that they can take, and I think that's why, particularly as we start to see businesses reopen, there are steps that they themselves are going to have to take. This isn't going to be a government-only solution. There's a lot that the private sector and civil society can do to help make sure that we ease ourselves back into a situation where we don't see a relapse. And I think it's really incumbent upon Americans who've already sacrificed so much to just use some common sense when they go back out there into the world.
And that's for all, regardless of race. But what about churches inside the minority communities? Isn't that a good target to try to help get the word out?
Definitely. And we've seen, you know, particularly those churches, want to get back to worshiping together. That's really important. I know that, from my own experience, it's just not quite the same to do it virtually. And I admire all of those priests and pastors and rectors who have taken steps to keep their congregations connected. But particularly as they go back, there is a lot of sharing of germs in a church environment. And so churches in particular and the minority community need to be vigilant about this and be careful so that they don't inadvertently spread the virus to people
that despite your effort and the PSA to make sure everyone's more heightened and aware, and particularly to make sure a minority community is properly notified, while you're doing that and you're trying to actually take steps to help protect minority Americans and make sure they're getting what they need and being alerted, you also have, before you joined us, I was running some quotes from a Rutgers University professor of New Jersey that is preaching the other way, that I think would drive the black populace away from any treatments, making statements like, all of this is a white supremacist creating a mass winnowing of black folks in order to slow demographic shifts and shore up political power. So in addition to what you're trying to do out there, you've got someone like that on the other side basically telling them this is all a plot against you.
That's right. Well, and remember that there are a lot of those theories out there. You had the Chinese who were blaming this on the U.S. Army in an effort to wipe out people in China. So let's face it, there are people out there who have their theories as to how this all came about. I think that one of the things that is really important is that we get to the bottom of how COVID-19 and the coronavirus began, because there's a lot of questions. I think that what we'll probably find at the end is that it's not some covert effort by anyone. It was probably just a natural occurrence. At least that's what I seem to believe based on the science that's already been
developed. Well, some of the latest information coming out is that the intel community is going to do a full inspection, and they're basically ruled out that it was an effort to create bioweapon at this point, but that it was coming by an accident in a lab, not through the wet market. In other words, that it somehow or another got out of the lab. So the intel community supposedly is going down that road, but then you've got New York Times and others saying this is just an administration push by Trump to blame it upon the lab as opposed to accepting it might have come out of the confines of Wuhan.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and I think that's why it's so important to do that investigation. And yeah, I would draw a distinction between an accident and actually creating a biological weapon.
And an accident and an accident, you know?
Right. True. Yes, but definitely lots of theories out there, and I think that's one of the important things. That's why you're in the business you're in, and I'm doing what we're doing, because it's so important that we get this news out to the American people.
All right, Robert.
And hopefully help them get to a point where we can get somewhat back to normal here, and not find ourselves in a situation later this year when we're dealing with a second wave of this.
Right.
And that's really important.
I agree. And in this last minute, since you're talking about your history of the business and mine, and I want the audience to know that you were one of the first to challenge the authenticity of documents used by CBS News anchor Dan Rather, questioning President George W. Bush's service of the Texas Air National Guard some years ago, but yet you were right on the front line of that story, huh?
I was. That was back in 2004, and of course, CBS and 60 Minutes had that big expose that they thought was going to bring down Bush's reelection, and it certainly didn't play out that way. Dan Rather lost his job, and to this day, you know, he's, I think, yet to recover. But I think it goes to show the importance of having a diversity of voices in the media, and why you've seen conservatives, I think, flourish in recent years, thanks to the Internet, thanks to talk radio, because it's given us a platform to provide the American people with an alternative point of view and alternative source of news. And
it's to
be welcomed.
Yeah, it certainly is. Robert, again, I appreciate it, and I encourage folks to pick up the Daily Signal or sign up for it online and check it out. Robert Bluey, I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. So we'll take a break when we come back. Some interesting ways to deal with keeping people from gathering, mass gatherings. This is what they've done in one community. Yeah. It'll stop people from camping out, I'll promise you that. And then the news anchor who should not have been on the air, coming up.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. Is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So let's Marvin Gaye get it on in one of the local parks. Let's get about 100, 200 1,000 of us together in one part. Don't say I'm encouraging and I'm joking. Now somebody will take that first part of that remark I made and they'll put it out there and say, Larry Connors is encouraging everybody to come together and in violation of the self-containment and standoffish or whatever we want to call it. No, I'm not. But I am telling you that they've had thousands gathering in one area and they're seeing in the same area, it's a celebration they have. And they have parties and bonfires on a regular basis around the area. There's no official lockdown. Where would this be? Well, it's not the U.S., obviously. There's a city in Sweden. And they have tens of thousands that typically travel to a Swedish city in celebration of Valpurgis Night. I guess that's the way it's called. And so they have these parties and bonfires. And they keep trying to tell them, don't gather together. You're going to help spread the virus. But nobody is listening. Nobody listening. So they're trying to figure out, what do we do to put an end to this? They have band gatherings of more than 50, but kind of lax with it. And they've had in that country something like 20,000 confirmed cases and about 2,400 deaths. But they're just kind of laissez-faire about it, you know, a little bit of this, maybe not. But they got to put a stop to these mass gatherings. So somebody came up with a great idea. Chicken droppings. Somebody said, you know, if we spread chicken droppings, manure, for those of you who are not sure what those pellets were, all over the park, it'll get on people, get on their shoes, get on them with their spread a blanket out, and then if they light a fire, there's nothing worse than the smell of burning chicken manure. But then, of course, the other problem is, well, those who live in the city, they're not doing anything wrong, but they're staying home. But my Lord, if the wind shifts, the smell of the burning chicken manure will be right into their homes. So they're thinking, well, it seemed like a good idea. I mean, they dumped a metric ton of this stuff at that park. What are they going to do now about the smelling? And then, how are you going to get rid of it? I mean, that's going to take a while for that to get out of there. But every city trying to do what it needs to do or what it thinks it needs to. I don't know if you've been around any chickens and livestock, but yeah, there's a smell. There's a definite smell. At one point, I was working for a TV station in Amarillo, Texas, the panhandle of Texas. When I first got up there, a smell would come in out of the southwest from time to time. Whew. And I told somebody when I first, I said, that smell, that's what is that? I mean, to me, it smells like cow manure. And said, well, you're right. I said, what? He said, yeah, it's the smell of money. A place called Hereford, Texas. About, I want to say, 80 miles from Amarillo. And if it's that stingent sometimes, 80 miles from it. But I've been around cattle and so forth a long time, so I kind of assumed that's what it was, but I didn't know it was that far away. But for them, it was the smell of money. And by the way, if you've ever been around a rendering plant where they take the carcasses of cattle and the leftover parts and they all put them together to render them, as they call it, and turning them into some kind of tallow or oil or wax, there's a smell you'll never forget. With all of this distancing we've had going on, a lot of news anchors, because they've either been identified as COVID positive or fear they might, they've been doing their broadcasts from their homes. Somebody has to go in and set the equipment up, and then they don't have to have anyone else come in. The news anchor just fires up the camera and goes on. And there had been a case recently where one of the ABC reporters sitting in his chair didn't realize the camera was tilted in such a way that it was showing he wasn't wearing any pants. Now, you didn't see anything, but it was clear he didn't have any slacks on. But then you got another news anchor that was on doing a report from his home. And behind him, in another room walking across the open doorway, was a scantily clad young lady. Now, she had on a bra and panties, but she just kind of sauntered across the back. I'm sure she didn't think she was going to be in the picture. He certainly didn't think she was going to be in the picture, because that's not his partner. His partner saw it, said, "Hold up." Well, caught cheating on his girlfriend because he didn't frame the camera right, or he let his other girlfriend walk around the place half naked. Now, if you think the virus can be deadly, there's a case where you could blame it on COVID-19, but it's not direct, but it still proves a point, doesn't it? That's why I'm behind the microphone. No cameras in here. Don't want you to see me drinking all these bottles of Jack while I'm doing the program, even though it may sound like it occasionally. Hey, I appreciate it. I appreciate you listening. Let your friends and neighbors know we'll be back again tomorrow. Book it.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.